I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The first account I compose, Theophilus, about all Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or ephods which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he said these things, he was lifted up while he was looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together and said, "Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, falling headlong. He burst open in the middle, and all his intestines gushed out, and it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language that field is called Helkeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead be made desolate, let no man dwell in it, and let another man take his office.' Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." Now I'm going to read from chapter 2 of Acts, starting at verse 1. Right. Okay. On the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them were hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, than the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." 15? More? No. Okay, sorry. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will pour in those days for pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's 21. Amen.
Today is Pentecostal Sunday. Do you know what that means? 50 days. Now, Jesus actually walked after. People talk about Easter. They talk about the cross. The cross was important. That was Friday. It actually wasn't Friday. If you look at the calendars properly, I don't think it was Friday, because there was a double Passover at that time. But let's call it Friday. And then there was Sunday, the resurrection. That was important too. Very important. But there was a package here. And that's what we read in the first part of Acts. You're to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Then you receive the power. The third step was, he said in John, "I have to go away so that the Spirit comes to you. It's better that I go away so that the Spirit will come to you." When he was here, he had the Spirit without measure. He had all of the Holy Spirit. But in the last days, so the last days started at Pentecost anyway. People say, "We're in the last days." Yes. Now, how far are we into the last days? Well, that's another topic. But in the last days, he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he said, "Wait until the Spirit comes." Now, they didn't wait 50 days, in case you're wondering. He stayed with them 40 days. And then they saw him ascending. And two men in white were standing there saying, "Same thing you see going up is coming down the same way. Jesus will return the same way." And that is the things that were foretold by Jesus in the Gospels about his return. Because you remember when he talks about this generation, there's two this generations. The this generation he was walking in, and the this generation he will walk in. And that this generation he will walk in will not pass away when you look at the ending signs. So, generation is 120 years, if you've ever been wondering. So he said, "Wait," and he left. I don't know what day he left on. Was it a Tuesday? Or was it a Thursday? Or was it a Monday? Now they say there's a Monday Thursday out there somewhere, but I don't know. Now, It could be that the very next time they got together for Sunday service, no, they had to wait at least one. 10 days later, they were all gathered together. And they were just gathering like they were intending to gather, doing the same things, talking about the Lord, discussing and testifying about the things they'd seen him do, reading some scripture, praising, worshiping God. And then this thing happens. Now I want to read a little bit from John 7. The Holy Spirit is an integral part of that Easter thing. Okay? It's an integral part of what started on Palm Sunday when he went into the city to finish it off. Now, it continues right on through to Pentecost when the Spirit is given. And then there's a completion of that transition from Old Covenant to New Covenant. There's a completion. We shouldn't try to see them in isolation. We should see them together. Jesus went down on the feast. His brothers were bugging him to go down and make a big show. And he said no, but he went down later and he began to teach in the synagogue, in the temple. And in John 7:37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." If anyone, he who believes. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Not my will but be done, but thine glorify thy name. Now, Jesus declares this in the last great day of the feast. He's declaring that you need to come unto him. He's speaking, proclaiming the gospel. You need to come unto him and receive the Spirit, that there would be rivers flowing out of your innermost being. You know, in Hebrews 6, it talks about the five steps of maturing in the things of the gospel. And the five steps are to hear the word, to take the heavenly gifts, to be baptized in the Spirit, to taste of the word. You want an explanation of that? Look at Romans 12:2 or Isaiah 55 or Psalm 1. And then the powers of the age to come. So we've been talking about the Spirit and the Spirit of the believer in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And things that are spiritually apprised and spiritually revealed and spiritually connected, and the understanding that if you want to know about God, you know it through the Spirit. No one knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man. Now the born-again person has the Spirit of God in them. The Holy Spirit is in them. But Pentecost was about the Spirit upon. It was a transfer of anointing, a transfer of the things that Paul said he brought in the second chapter. I came to you with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Spirit of Pon is where you have the spiritual manifestations. The Spirit within is where you have the Comforter and the Revealer. The manifestations are described in Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the manifestations are given to the body to profit withal. And the church was told to wait until it came upon the church. When it came upon the church, did you notice it came upon all? There was none left out. It was not something that was for a few. You was the plural. He was speaking to a group, and he wasn't excluding anyone. Everybody should have the Spirit upon them. Everybody should have that baptism not many days hence. So that is something that if you don't have it, you can get it today. You receive it. It's just like Jesus. In fact, it is Jesus, if you want to know. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, if you don't have that, you should receive it. The same way, if you don't have step two, you should receive it. The same way you don't have step one, you should receive it. And by the way, when you get step three, if you don't have step four, you should go after it. Develop it. And when you get step four, you should earnestly seek step five. Now, if you don't have it, we'll pray for you today to get it. Doesn't matter where you are in the food chain. If you look at this topic and you go through and you watch this topic discussed by the media ministries. You know, there are people on the media. They're on the YouTube and they're on the radio and they're on TV. And they're talking about this. Well, those who have it know it's important. And those who don't have it don't like the thought that they don't have it. Now, I heard one minister, kind of got some respect for him. He says, you know, I don't speak in tongues, but I know it's scriptural, and I want it, and I just haven't got it yet. Now, that's pretty good, eh? Because he's, when people are trying to be important in the church and to say, I don't do that yet, or I don't have that yet, then, you know, people get afraid that someone's going to say, then what are you doing the teaching? Because the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the helper and the revealer of those things. But others would put it down. They actually teach against it. Jesus called it blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, not a good condition to be in, and some of them are big name. But doesn't matter what your status is, you are to move into that next level of maturity. Doesn't matter how many times you've blown it or walked according to the world, and it doesn't matter how many degrees you got and how many schools you went through. Let's see who this is. It's a West Coast person. They don't understand our time. Anyway. So if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, seek it and you will find. Ask and it will be given. You are to stay before the Lord and receive it. And that doesn't mean you hit yourself over the head or anything. This is no different than step two. You make a decision and you begin to use your mouth. For with the heart man believes and is justified, and with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. God does not withhold. You know, the passage in Matthew. In Matthew 7, where he says, you know, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven who loves you give good things to you? Well, the same passage in Luke says, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit? It's a good thing. If you don't have it, get it. When you get it, exercise it. Jude says to exercise your anointing. Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Jesus says, increase the level of your faith. Well, that's actually step four. But you do it by operating in step three. One thing builds to the other. You can't get the Holy Spirit without step two. And you won't get step two without step one. Until you hear the word, you're not going to accept the word and receive Jesus. And until you receive Jesus, you're not going to get to where you have that anointing and the Spirit upon you. So you need to get there. And when you really want to develop in step four, the Word of God, the Spirit, and the Word agree. And when you want to get to the powers, the demonstration of the Spirit and power, the anointing is very important because you need to be testing the spirits. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling them they were dealing with some issues. And there was two people there. The one I'd been telling that they needed to start believing God. Not just believing in God, but believing God. That you can't believe in God and then curse yourself all the way through your life. I said the one thing you'll find basically every manager and coach of every team, business or sports or otherwise, the one thing they try to get over is that they want their team to believe they can succeed, not that they will fail. How did they figure that out? And you've got to get to where you are believing to begin to be receiving. The Holy Spirit will come the same way. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? They asked later on in Acts. They said, well, we haven't actually heard about the Holy Spirit. So no wonder they didn't hear. You need step one to get step two. And you need step two to get step three. So there should be a progression. Pentecost was never designed to be left off of Easter. It was never designed to be left alone. You don't have the power to be witnesses. You know how many people out there in the world today trying to be witnesses and they don't have any power? Too many. You know who the greatest identifiable group, religious group, for persecution and being killed is today? It's Christians. So, exercise your anointing even as you exercise your communion with the Spirit. You commune with the Spirit within. You walk the earth You go out as a witness, a demonstration of the Spirit and power as you develop in the anointing. And you all have the anointing, and it teaches you. The Spirit upon you is trying to help you in the world today. It's trying to give you manifestations in the body today. The manifestations of the Spirit are given to the body to profit with all. Your ability to serve and build up comes from an anointing. Comes from grace, if you read the rest of Romans 12, that everyone has a portion of. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit upon you, as it was upon David mightily, then your grace multiplies. And it begins to move from glory to glory. So we're going to take a moment to pray for anybody who hasn't developed that Spirit upon yet, that anointing of the baptism of the Spirit, just as Helen read. And then we're going to have some refreshments.